I'll be too nervous to. I'll probably lost for words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lost of Words betting podcast. I'm joined, as ever, by Bradley Todd. Brad, hello.
Good evening, Tom. You all right, mate?
Yeah, all good. It's last PGA Tour podcast before the Masters, which is obviously incredibly exciting. We have the benefit, I mean, you don't have the benefit because you've been busy on all sorts of other tours, but we've got the benefit on this podcast of just having to talk about one event. And that's quite nice, actually. It's quite nice to focus all your attention on one event. I think that helps. Keeps the podcast kind of nice and snappy as well. But just recapping last week, Brad, nice place for you. 250-1, Veer Alawat came in second place at the Hero India Open.
Yeah. It was brilliant. He carried on his form over from the Challenge Tour. Obviously, he's playing on his home course. And yeah, it was all eyes on him, and he had an eagle putt down the last, and he held it, and the whole place erupted. It was great. He looks the first time I've seen him, sort of like, you know, watching him, and he looks a real player. Like, he hits it miles, really good ball striker. So yeah, he certainly looks the one that, like, a future for Indian golf, for certain. Yeah.
Yeah, lived up to the billing, right? One, Manu Gandas was relatively up there. I think it was inside the top 20, but otherwise he was the leading hope, wasn't he? So
he was. It was good. Yeah, there's certainly value there, right? And it obviously showed last week when you go to these sort of events, like when we go to Japan, Korea, India, like the home comforts, it's definitely worth looking at players like that.
Yeah, I think we had Gandas in 11th and Kochar in 13th for the other sort of Indians, but it was certainly Alawat that kind of led the way for the group there. Shout out to Gavin Green, who started the week double bogey, and somehow finished 5th. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty classic Gavin Green, to be honest. Yeah.
Soderberg got another great finish. He's in good form. But, I mean, Nakajima was absolutely tearing out, wasn't he? And then he finished double bogey on 14 and 3 straight bogeys to finish.
He was just in cruise control at that point, though, wasn't he? It's just, he already knew he won it, but it was just unbelievable. Yeah, he was class, really. And we mentioned it, obviously, when we did the podcast, where it was outlining our favourite players. Yeah. You know, look out for it at the start of the year. I mean, he's come over from the Japan Tour, former number one amateur in the world, and I don't think we're going to see much of him on this tour for long. He's just made an impression straight away.
That's the problem, isn't it? Everyone's sort of worried that he's going to be in that one of the 10 to get the cards, which he almost certainly will be. And he sort of referenced that in his interview, and people sort of went up in arms a bit. He'll probably be gone before that, so I don't think we need to worry too much about that. I think he'll get a couple of starts on the PGA Tour, and if he makes good of them, then he could be gone sooner than that. But I think the way to look at it, Ben put this quite nicely on Twitter, is that we've got him playing over here potentially for a whole season when he absolutely had no intention of doing it prior to, you know, PGA Tour cards being given away. So there's positives and negatives to it. I mean, the negative being that he's confirmed what we all know, is that players generally just looking as an escape route. But the fact that we get to see him for a year is a bonus, mate. So looking forward to seeing what we can of Nakajima going into the rest of the season. Over in the Houston Open, Scottie Scheffler had a great chance, didn't he, to make it 3 in a row. Missed a five and a half foot putt on the final hole. Steven Yeager comes out on top. Massively improved player, Steven Yeager, isn't he, Brad?
Yeah, massively improved. He's added a lot of distance this year, and I think that obviously helped him last week, especially with the rough being down. And yeah, look, it's been coming. You know, he's always been quite, like, not very good in contention. If he gets a sniff of the lead, sort of falls away, but no, he deserves it. He was really good last week. Really? It's nice to see someone else other than Scheffler win.
really weird player, Yeager, because he was like a 6-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour, wasn't he? And someone that whenever he had a sniff over there was great, and just didn't really make the step up. And I don't really remember a time where he completely blew it on like a Sunday. It's just been, he's just been getting in the mix, hasn't it, where it's been a problem for Yeager. He's kind of been there after, you know, 36 or whatever, and kind of faded quite quickly over the weekend. But thought Tony Finau was going to do it.
Yeah.
But put end to that on Saturday with a really terrible Saturday, and then, you know, fired back nicely on Sunday, but it was too late by then. any other kind of standout? I mean, we had Billy Horschel was a shared each way place, tied seventh, two or three in the end, wasn't a lot. But any other sort of eye catching performances for you going forward?
I think Nick Dunlap was definitely good to see him, you know, because when he won, he sort of fell off straight away, and you think, oh, is that him now? Is he going to win? But I think last week it showed that no, this boy he's ready to play, and he's, I think that's 63. Which was it, on Saturday or Sunday? I think it was Sunday.
Saturday.
Yeah. It really put him in the mix, and he didn't finish strong, but I think that was good to see, you know, because sometimes winning and you can just fall off. So to see him come back and have a good performance was nice. I mean, David Skins, again, just popping up on the leaderboard. It's really cool to see. So he's been on the Corn Ferry Tour lots of years, and good to see him get his chance and be up there with all these names. Other than that, I thought Siwoo Kim was going to, you know, nick a place, even though, oh, God, my selections last week and this event were absolute toilet. But Siwoo Kim he rallied over the weekend. I thought he might nick a place, but he come up a couple of shots short in the end. So, yeah, other than that, no, that's what I've sort of picked up from it.
Yeah, I think Akshay carrying on his form, the title of them, is quite eye-catching. He seems to be pretty consistent all season now, which is huge for someone of his young age still. There'll be a couple of players I'll mention in my picks that eye-catching for those reasons. We'll come on to that in a sec. But just back on Siwoo Kim, it kind of did what potentially, Brad, we sort of talked about, right? Was is he just playing well without contending? And that's kind of how it panned out. I know he had a reasonable chance, didn't he, after, you know, the first nine holes on Sunday to get himself in the mix, and it just sort of slowed down in the back. But look, I think he's just going to keep treading water, probably finish maybe even top 20 at the Masters next week, and then I think he goes and wins the Heritage. I think that's the pathway to him. That's his tournament, right? So as much as I don't want to look ahead of the Masters, that's probably what I'll be thinking right now. So if somehow, some way you can bet on the Heritage before then, I probably would. But there we go. That's kind of a nice roundup of the weeks just gone. Valero Texas Open, Brad. When you're looking at this tournament, how much do you factor in? It's a weird discussion, isn't it? Because you have this, oh, he's got the motivation of the Masters next week. And I do factor that in. Shouldn't the argument be that should be your motivation every week if you're not already in? That's the one debate and a counteract to that argument.
I get that. I suppose, though, it's like you've been trying, but now it's really is the last possible opportunity. And so I do get that, though, like what you're saying. It's just another motivational factor. But as you said, like, you could have that every week. But I think because it's the last possible opportunity a player's got to punch their ticket, I think it comes down to the sort of players that will harness that sort of pressure to get in. I think some might let them get into their head too much. But as I think we'll touch upon, there are certain players in the field that will probably, you know, take that pressure, welcome it and harness it, and it'll make them play better.
I think the couple of players we're looking at, I mean, there's going to be a massive group of them that are going to fit the criteria of not being qualified for the Masters, right? But I think our leading ones, or leading one that we definitely agree on, better on backs against the wall, like you said. And I think there's certain players that almost just assume they're going to make it somehow, don't, and then they realise, oh shit, I've got to kind of step on it. Helps that they're good at the golf course anyway. But yeah, I mean, look, it's probably only a positive for the most part. There might be someone that, you know, it would be a first ever Masters appearance, big moment, might be a first win and the first Masters appearance that could potentially get too much on the line. But for the top of the market, I think it's a good thing. So let's look into it without further ado. I mean, there's five or six players here that don't need to worry about Master spots, and that's Rory McIlroy at 10-1, Ludvig Hubert at 12-1, Hideki Matsuyama 20-1, Jordan Spieth 22-1, Corey Connors 25-1, Max Homer 25-1, and then let's go with Fitzpatrick and Morikawa 28-30-1. Mm-hmm. All of those players are in the Masters next week. Which one stood out for you just from a pure, let's see how he does it at Valero Texas Open this week?
I think Hideki stood out purely because I can't trust a lot of these players that you've just mentioned at the moment. I don't think they're playing to at their best, you know, and I don't think they warrant the price at which they're at. But I think with Hideki, we've got someone who's just coming into form. He looks fit, and yeah, I think he's definitely my pick from up the top. You know, TPC San Antonio, it is a proper ball strikers test, and there isn't many in better ball striking form than Hideki right now. He finished sixth at the Players last time out. It was the best he's hit his irons in a long time. He gained over 1.6 strokes. He ranked sixth on approach. He also ranked third off the tee, second tee to green. His game's just in excellent shape right now. And I think he'll want to keep that momentum going this week with the Masters just around the corner. Obviously, it's an event that means so much to him, and he's already won it. So I think just keeping that momentum going. And he just fits the bill perfectly for this course. But he's yet to show that in the three appearances that he's had here. His best finish is, I think it was 15th, came last year. He did rank seventh in ball striking, but had a cold putter, which let him down. But I think that was the case last time out of the Players as well. He just smashed it ball striking, and but his putter let him down. So yeah, I think it could be hopefully not a similar situation this year. But if he gets his putter going, then I think it's going to be good. But he has quite good. It's quite good form in Texas as well. Like, he's had a second and third over the years, and with a lot of top players struggling at the moment, he just feels like the safest bet. You know, he's finding his best form, and he looks healthy again. So yeah, I do expect him to go close this week, and he does look the pick of the bunch from the top.
I don't want to look too far ahead, and spoiler alert, this is definitely my thoughts already going into the Masters. But of that, even, you know, top of the market, you're saying here he's the kind of standout one that, you know, showing a lot, showing form, showing plenty of life. And I think other than Scheffler, he's probably the one in the Masters betting as well, right? That is really doing that. I mean, you've got the question marks about Rory, question marks about, you know, you don't know what Rahm, Koepka and co are going to do from Liv. Zalatoris is potentially injured. Hovland not playing very well. Yeah, I think Spieth, no idea what he's doing. It's maybe Wyndham Clark, I guess, but he's making his debut at that course as well. Like, it's, I think Hideki's just rock solid. And you know, I've been looking at his price for the last few weeks, and it's not really getting any, it's not really changing. It's been 28-1 for a while now. And I think probably fair enough, really. I mean,
yeah,
one, it kind of highlights that 20-1 seems pretty good value this week. Two, it highlights that he's probably still good value to win next week. It's been long enough since that win that, you know, you're not worried about him kind of defending or anything like that. And also on that note, Brad, I mean, I know this is not the Masters podcast, but like, he was one of those people that I was really impressed with in their you know, defense at the Masters. I think that's a huge thing. He's been 14th and 16th since he won the Masters, and I think that's a really telling thing. That, you know, bearing in mind he's the first Japanese major winner, I think it's huge. I think it's a massive thing how good he's been there. So yeah.
Great course for him.
Yeah, perfect for the next couple of weeks.
I think it's worth keeping an eye on him, because if he goes, like, obviously he's up there this week contending, I think that 28s would just get smashed, and he could easily be 22, 20-1.
I absolutely agree. I think he's a good bet for both weeks. I didn't quite get it because I've got a couple in the 30s, but do understand it. The one for me, if I was going to, I have this weird feeling that Ludvig's just going to do so well. I don't, it's kind of a gut feeling as opposed to anything that I've necessarily seen in his game. His game's been what it's been for, you know, months now, right? Like, I don't think there's really anything to sort of sell on Ludvig. It's just, for some reason, I mean, I know he missed the cut here on his one and only start, but it just
pretty raw then, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago now, and I think he's ready to win again. I think he's been sort of bubbling under the surface, and it's just 12-1, right? I don't really want to take 12-1 about a player.
It's really a part of the world as well for him. Obviously, Texas, being a Texas Tech alum, you know. So yeah, I agree though. I think 12-1 is just, if he wins, so be it. I think he should be that price. I don't think you can make him any bigger, given his form and obviously potential. But yeah, I think there's a bit more value further down.
100%. Let's go into that then. So for me, that there's it's dangerous now you want to play it. You've got 33-1 if you just want to try and take him on to win. 30-1 8 places if you want to take a decent amount of places. Or you can go 28-1 10 places on Alex Noren, who I think this is a little bit inspired by what Jaeger did. And, you know, they're not necessarily that similar in player, but Jaeger struggled to win on the PGA Tour. He won 6 times on the Korn Ferry Tour. Noren, 10-time winner on DP World Tour, but really struggling to break through at this level throughout his career. I know he lost in the playoff to Jason Day at Torrey Pines, and he's had decent major finishes. And look, he kicked off this full swing, didn't he? He was third at the Shriners, second at the Bermuda behind Camilo Villegas, destined to win that. And he's just come back with 3 straight top 20s at the Cognizant Classic. He was 9th players, he was 19th in Houston, he was 11th. Just feels like there's not a lot of improvement needed, Brad, for Alex Noren to go on and win. And look, I'm in that camp of I don't know how much win equity Noren generally possesses each week, but he is, we talked about motivation, he is going to be one of those clear-cut people that has to go and win. There's no like Rory where he might be fine-tuning after some swing changes with Birch's. You know, if Hideki feels something in his neck, then does he kind of put the clubs down and get ready for next week? There's nothing like that. His Noren is just purely, I have to win. There's no other opportunity. And he was 15th last year. He never broke 70, which is a slight concern. But his ball striking is been, you know, solid for the last few weeks. His approach play could obviously improve. His all-round package has been really solid. And I just think with Noren, as I said, I don't think there's going to be too much uptick required for someone of his calibre to go and win at this level. And it might be the week before the Masters is his time.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think he's just been really consistent recently. And obviously it's a bit of a Fleetwood situation with him that he can't get it over the line stateside. But yeah, I can't see, he's seeing a lot this year, people breaking through, a lot of first time wins. Jaeger obviously last week being an example, and I just feel like he's playing so well right now. Why can't he win? You know, why can't he go on and win? He's got all the tools to win at this course. His ball striking's been excellent. So yeah, I do like him a lot this week as well.
I think it's important to sort of note as well, like it's probably only the last couple of seasons that he's really dedicated himself to the PGA Tour, right? So as much as he's played in plenty of PGA Tour events over his career, it's only the last 2 seasons or so that he's really dedicated it. And 11 cuts in a row now.
Yeah, so consistent. I was going to say, when was his last win? I forgot. I think it must be like...
It's like 2018. It's quite a long
time. 5 years ago, yeah. France, was it in France?
Yeah, open to France. I think it's just like, I think it's the fact that you've had COVID after that. You've had a couple of years where he's been frittering between the tours, and now he's really there. I think it's just a difference. And yeah, I just think that pure motivation of, I think, like I said, I don't want to weigh too much, but just with someone like him and our next player, I think it's a massive positive. So Alex Noren kicking things off, I'd probably actually go with the 28-1-10 places and just trying to secure as many places as you can. But let's go into Billy Horschel, Brad. Best price now, 35-1-6 places. You can get 30-1-8 places. It really depends how you want to play it. I would almost just take the best price.
I think I'm going to go 6 places with Billy because I think it's going to be boom or bust, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's him. But I'll let you go into Billy Horschel and then I'll sort of add anything if you...
I think it's a fairly obvious one. And you highlighted most of the reasons last week. But yeah, he is one of those players that once he starts showing some consistent form, like a win normally isn't that far away. He's showing exactly that. Another top performance last week. Houston Open, finished 7th, had a fantastic round. 64, and I think he'll be looking to carry that over into this week. He's finished 12th or better in his last 4 starts, and last week was his best ball striking display of the lot, ranking 16th. He gained strokes across the board, and now returns to a course where we know he can play well. He's finished 3rd twice, 4th and 11th at TPC San Antonio over the years, and he's just got exceptional form in Texas, which you sold us on last week. I'll bring it up again. A 2-time winner, runner-up, and 3 further top 5s. And I think some more top 10s I'm missing out as well. But yeah, he just absolutely loves competing in Texas, and he'll be heavily motivated to keep it going this week, as we've already mentioned. A win will punch his ticket to the Masters, and Yeah, he is that player, isn't he? Like we were talking about it, he's the type of player to harness that kind of pressure rather than let it negatively affect him, like backs against the wall. Like he performs. So, yeah, it was an easy choice for me this week to chance Billy.
Yeah, no one ever does this intentionally, right? No one puts himself into a win or bust situation. But if anyone had that kind of mindset, I think it's him. Like, if I can make things as difficult as possible, I'll perform my best.
Yeah.
Done it in the FedEx Cup playoffs, right? You know, struggling to make the next week, goes and wins again, then wins it all. Just strikes me as that type of player. And look, unlike Houston last week, where I was sort of gambling on whether it'd be a good golf course for him, based on his Texas form, he finishes seventh. This is unbelievably suited to him. He was the 54 hole leader when he finished third on his third start here, third again a couple of years later where he was third over the weekend both rounds. Then he was fourth, got better, you know, over the weekend again. Then he was 11th, you know, two starts ago here. He's been inside the top 11 you know, more often than not at this golf course, which is huge. Seems to be, you know, very much boom or bust, third and fourth and 11th, or three missed cuts, 74th and 75th. So I think you're going to know pretty early what Billy Horschel was going to do. He hasn't played here for 4 years, which is, I think, just testament to the fact that he's, you know, again, just very motivated. He obviously doesn't play it when he's in the Masters. He's in there now and ready to rock and roll. And look, it's a good golf course for him. He got better every round, as you mentioned earlier, 71, 68, 67, 64. Improved position wise all week. So yeah, really keen on Billy Horschel. It makes perfect sense to me. And I think if you're going against Billy Horschel, one, you might just, you know, question the value is absolutely fine. But I think a lot of it's like, you know, he's that trendy pick and I don't want to be in the group, and I'm well happy to be in the group. I was ready last week to him already. So absolutely fine with that. Let's have a look on the odds. So I'll go next. This guy's coming a decent amount. You can still get 100 to 1 six places, but typically the best sort of available is 70 to 1 eight places on KH Lee. 80 to 1 eight places, sorry, KH Lee. Another person, loves Texas, right? Just absolutely phenomenal. Back-to-back wins at the Byron Nelson. And when you look here, 14th on his debut, and he was second after round two, fourth after round three. And then finished 23rd in the second start here as well. Did miss the cut here 2 years ago, but just the intangibles of KHL. I think he's a local, found some form now, fourth in the Cognizant Classic, ninth in the Valspar, and then 31st last week at the Houston Open. So certainly finding form, loves Texas. I just think for me, the win equity with someone like KHL is reasonably high, I think. I think at 70 or 80 to 1 he's definitely good value.
I can see where you're going from there. And if he does get into contention, you feel like you're going to get a runner there, because he rarely does, but when he does, he does compete, doesn't he? And what I was gonna say, you're gonna back him first round leader. That's normally the way to go.
Yeah, it's probably KH Lee, probably first round leader, makes a lot of sense. I haven't seen the tea times yet, but
I think the neither
certainly will be on the mind. Brad, your third pick for us in the
month. Yeah, I'm going to go with Davis Riley, who has been out of sorts all year, but last week something finally clicked. He finished 14th. He ranked fourth on approach, 21st off the tee, and fifth tee to green, so hit it very well. I saw in a Golf Week article last week, it mentioned that he has gone back to his old coach, Jeff Smith. He's fixed a few things with his swing. So it's amazing how many times we see it, whether it be a new caddy, equipment, or going back to an old coach. But it can really spark a player into life, and that's exactly what it's done to Riley last week. And he now comes into this week with a much needed confidence boost to a course he's won at in the past, albeit on the Korn Ferry Tour. And I feel like he's worth chancing. He hasn't been able to emulate that performance on the PGA Tour. He's had a withdrawal and a 63rd place finish from two appearances, so that's not good. So since coming to PJ Tour, he has struggled here, but I just couldn't possibly pass on him, though, after reading that. And I think his ball striking last week was excellent. After a torrid period, I imagine he'll just want to keep it going, keep moving in the right direction. And I think on a course he's won it in the past, he's worth chancing.
Yeah, fourth in approach, fifth in tee to green last week. And I think even even with, you know, the concerns, because that was really for me, like, I know Riley was popular when I was sort of looking at picks, and for good reason, you've outlined all the good reasons, right? My pause was the fact that he'd been 65 withdrawal since the PGA Tour level. But you look at it, he opened with 270s on his, you know, PGA Tour debut here, and he was 22nd after two rounds. And I just see Davis Riley as a bit of an impatient player in terms of probably wanting to make a leap. He knew he could probably make it at this golf course and maybe just went too hard for it, right? And he would have had the Masters on the mind and things like that. And last week, open with 65, closed with 65. So, you know, really good, you know, thought process there. He must be, you know, full of confidence. So, yeah, I do get it. There was the pause with the kind of lack of form since it's been a PGA Tour event for him. But, you know, you can only take the chance. And the price, if he was 40-1, it'd be a different conversation, right? But
100%, yeah.
And he's still 90-1 or 100-1 even in places, like, you know, that I think that's absolutely fine. So 90-1 there, Davis Riley. I'm going to come on to now Ryan Moore, 125-1, 8 places. Another one was kind of on my radar going into last week. Unlike Horschel, I didn't think Houston would be a good golf course for him, so I wasn't keen to bet him last week. And actually, what he did was probably better than I expected, right? Like, he finished 31st, had a decent weekend, finished 66, 69, which really is not a good golf course for him. It's too long for him at Houston. But what he did is he kept up that ball striking form. And the one thing I like, I mean, he was 16th last week in overall tee to green. He was 8th in approach. That's all I need to see. Keep up what you've been doing well, even on a course that's unsuitable, and we'll go back to the well. And when you look, 8th, 18th, 7th and 3rd in his first four starts at this golf course is everything I need to know about Ryan Moore. And I think I've said this on the podcast probably a few times, and, you know, forgive me if people just think I'm repeating myself, but one of the things I do like is when a player of someone's, like Ryan Moore's, quality, you know, just disappears for injury purposes, right? Like, or injury reasons. Like, if it's a complete drastic loss of form and you're no longer a good golfer anymore, that's a concern. But when it seemingly is just all to do with an injury, which it has turned out to be with Ryan Moore, who's had bad backs and things like that, I'm absolutely willing to go back to the well. He was a 36th hole leader here when he finished 7th. He finished 3rd when he shot a final round 64. He was 8th on debut, as I mentioned, where he got better every round. So there's been plenty in the mix for Ryan Moore to suggest that this run of 3 straight made cuts can lead into. And look, this is a player that's used to playing in major championships. No getting about it. He's that type of level, and he'll be very motivated to get back. So although that didn't really factor in for me, as I don't think it should at 125-1, I do think Ryan Moore's got a good week ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. And he seems to be one of them players, like, he finished the year strong last year, didn't he? I think he was like a top 10 at the RSM Classic and Bermuda Championship, and he does put them performances together a little bit streaky, and yeah, he's obviously hitting the ball very well at the moment, and this is a good course for him, so I can definitely see why you're on him this week. So it's a good bet.
And I don't know if that was a purposeful prompt there, Brad, but it was a great reminder of the correlation that I flagged this week. So last week, Mexico Open, Houston Open correlation worked out perfectly. I didn't make the right picks from it, but it definitely, you know, worked. And I think there's definitely a correlation with the RSM Classic here. JJ Spawn won this in 2022, finished 2nd, 13th, 15th and 16th at the RSM Classic over the years. Corey Connors, two-time winner here, top 10 at the RSM Classic. Landry won here in 2018, 4th at the RSM Classic twice. Kevin Chappell he's won here and finished 2nd and 4th, and he's also finished 2nd and 8th for the RSM Classic. Will McKenzie, not the in-betweeners star, but also the golfer, finished 2nd at both the Texas Open and the RSM Classic. Daniel Summerhayes, this is how we find these correlations, Brad, is we pick out, look, there's no good me saying to you, look, Jordan Spieth performed well at both, Rory McIlroy's performed well at both. Yeah. Let's look at these kind of, you know, names of, you know, maybe peaks, like a Matt Every has won, you know, the Bay Hill a couple of times, but generally speaking, found it hard to be consistent. 2nd here at the Valero Texas Open, 7th for the RSM Classic for Matt Every. John Herr, 2nd here, 9th, 12th and 12th again at the RSM Classic. Freddie Jakobsen, 2nd here, 50 RSM Classic. Patrick Rogers, 5th here in the past, and we know he lost that playoff to Charles Howell III. So I think there's plenty enough there to suggest there's a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Why that is, I think there's, you know, a bit of wind at the RSM Classic on certain days. It's the type of course that, you know, requires, you know, really strong approaches all the way round. You could apply that kind of formula to most. But yeah, there's been enough in the crossover of results to suggest that the RSM Classic is important. That helps. Billy Horschel has finished second there. It helps. Alex Norren has been really consistent there. So whilst I was picking those players anyway, it was a nice bonus for those. And as you mentioned there, Ryan Moore, eighth there at the Swedes season. So definitely just an additional bonus for me.
Love that.
Next pick for me, and second to last pick for me, is Max Griezmann, 125-1. Now, I'll be completely honest, I wouldn't be able to pick out Max Griezmann from a lineup. Don't know an awful lot about him. I do know that he kind of had, you know, a decent amount of spot starts in the past. I actually thought he'd had his PGA Tour card before, but when you look at it, he's played, you know, predominantly on the Korn Ferry Tour. So I don't know if this is his official rookie season. It probably is. 56 for the Amex, where he opened 67, 68, 66 to sit inside the top 30 before falling away. That was in between two missed cuts, but Farmers, he was absolutely okay. In the first round, he opened with a 69, and then when he missed a cut in the Sony, he opened with 270, so not too concerned there. He then had to withdraw for the Mexico Open, but since then, Brad, 47 for the Cognizant Classic, but he was 18th after round two, 11th after round three, 15th for the Puerto Rico Open, where he led after round one, was inside the top 10 going into the final round, finished 15th there, 33rd at the Valspar, he was inside that number for three of the four rounds. And then 7th last week at the Houston Open is obviously the peak of those results. Got better every round, 11th, 10th, 9th and 7th. I think we're just finding a golfer that's, you know, realising that he can play at his levels, finding a bit of confidence. And that's huge, right? And when you look at what he done here on the Korn Ferry Tour when it was at San Antonio Championship, which was when Davis Riley won, right? He was 3rd after round 1, 6th after round 2, finished 18th. So he's got the experience of the golf course as well. Look, Davis Riley is one of their golf courses and not been able to translate it into success. So I'm not going to pin too much on that, but it's only a bonus. And it is a bonus based on the fact that I really love what he's doing. He's 11th in strokes gained tee to green in this field over the last 15 weeks, which I think is massive considering some of the players you've got their 9th in strokes gained approach. Never like actually leading the field or being even top 10 in either of those statistics, but just being solid throughout has been enough for him to kind of rate really well in that respect. So I think, you know, 9th and 26th the last 2 weeks in strokes gained off the tee as well for Griezmann, 9th in putting last week. I just think he's finding that all-round game, finding his confidence levels. 125-1, 8 places, I thought was pretty solid for someone that's showing he's stepping up.
Yeah, definitely solid. I think the way in which he's settled is just, yeah, impressive. Like, I just feel like there's some of the golfers that come onto the PGA Tour, like they do take a long while to settle. And like say, like I really rate Wilson Furr, and he's really struggled so far, but he was tied for the lead last week. And maybe that's just a sign that he's sort of, you know, he's finding his feet a little bit. But yeah, as for Griezmann, he's just been, he's been brilliant. 4 made cuts in a row, 7th last week, and he's hitting the ball. Hitting the ball well, and as you said, he's got previous at this course at the Korn Ferry Tour level, which, yeah, it's a Brucey bonus if anything, isn't it? So yeah, I think he's a good long shot this week. Like, when you said it, I was like, that's nice. I didn't really target him, or like, you know, sort of like give him a good enough look, and I do think that's a good bet.
I think it's been a good year for a decent crop of Korn Ferry, you know, tour players, right? Like Joe Highsmith has been really consistent as well. And look, someone definitely wasn't, him and Griezmann, not really on my radar until this week, but Highsmith, 34th at the American Express, 33rd at the Farmers, where he was 5th going into the final round, 6th at the Puerto Rico Open, where he was the, you know, 18 hole and 36 hole leader, 21st last week in Houston, where he was 4th going into the final round weekend. Like, these two players are just stepping up really nicely. So if someone said to me, you know, Joe Highsmith is on my card this week, I'd absolutely understand that as well. He's not on mine, but like just that similar type of player who just seems to be finding their feet. And we see it, Brad, don't we? We see it with players that they do just establish themselves really quickly and can go on to win. So whilst I think we're probably potentially playing for places with Griezmann, I do think there's a decent amount of chance he can go on to win. So happy with that. Come on to your final outright pick for us, Brad, this week.
Yes, I'm going to take Harry Hall, who had a decent result last week. He finished 28th. There isn't much that really stood out, like statistically, that made, you know, something jump up and chance him. But His actually short game carried him last week. He was 8 for around the green and on the green. So, yeah, he'll definitely need to improve off the tee and on an approach, which is asking a lot. But what caught my eye is that he's beginning to look a bit of a Texas specialist. He finished 28th at this course last year. He's made the cut 5 times from 5 appearances in Texas. That is on the PGA Tour. And last year he had his best finish on tour, and that was at the Charles Schwab Challenge, where he finished 3rd. He was absolutely cruising that week. God, I think he had like a 5-6 shot lead at some point and then just threw it away over the weekend. Shot 72, 73. Yeah, he's always been a good wind player. Like, he grew up in Cornwall, went to college in Las Vegas, so that certainly helps. And I think we're going to be seeing some wind over the weekend and possibly Friday as well. So that might help his chances. And that did come into my mind when selecting Harry Hall. And he did say that his game was trending in the right direction after last week's performance in Houston. So that also also got me a little bit excited. So I thought I'd chance him this week at big odds. I mean, his price has come in, but you can get 175 to 1, 10 places, and then you can boost that to 200 to 1. So, yeah, that's plenty big enough. So, yeah, going to give him a go.
Yeah, 5 of his last 7 cuts made, right, suggests that he's not just chatting shit when he says that his game is trending in the right direction. Like, it seems to be going that way. You find around 65 in Mexico, where, you know, similar sort of tests, and 69 and 68 in Puerto Rico. There's been some crossover with that result as well. And probably the one, Brad, when you sort of mentioned the players that you were playing, I was sort of questioning it, like, you know, where has it got to this one? But it's that Texas thing, I think. You pointed out that if someone specializes in Texas, you should take note. And
yeah,
I like that. So makes all the sense to me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just think the fact that he's a good wind player as well. So looking at the forecast, I think maybe somewhere it could be. We've seen it here in the past, right? Like, obviously it's had some funny results, from big outsiders. So he could be someone that sort of comes to the front if it does bluster like we expect. So yeah,
absolutely. Nico Echevarria is my final outright selection. Late ad for me. Someone I spoke to you about him sort of when I was doing my picks. Didn't necessarily come up in that odds checker article, because I'd already put up 4 players. But when I got to the end of it, I was like, I don't know why I'm leaving this guy out. Like, he's 250 to 1, 8 places. I just think that's too big on a player that I think is, again, might be just overusing this a little bit. But I think he's improving in front of our eyes, right? Like, I think is a player that's always had upside. He won at Puerto Rico Open at nice odds. We know he's a talented player and he's played in big events already so far in his career. But, twice this year already, I mean, you can't really count it as a made cut, I guess, in the Century, because you play all 4 rounds. But he was top 25 there, so he was playing well enough that he would have made the cut probably. Then made the cut of the Amex and the Sony Open. Missed a couple of cuts, but then made 3 cuts in a row again. It's always been his kind of problem, his consistency. And when he finished 24th in the Mexico Open, where he was 9th going into the weekend, 21st at the Cognizant Classic, where he was 11th going into the final round, and 15th in Puerto Rico, where he was 8th going into the final round, as a course he's already won on. I'm not too concerned about missed cuts at the Players and the Valspar, because I mean, the Players is what it is. The Valspar, if it doesn't suit you, it doesn't suit you. And everything he's done in his career, Brad, so far sort of suggests to me this should be a good golf course for him, including the fact that he finished 28th here on debut last year, matching that of Harry Hall. And he was, 10th after 2 rounds. He opened for 73 and then backed that up with 66, shot 71 on the Saturday, was still inside the top 12, and then just kind of didn't, kick on from there. But again, as we sort of said, some people try and force the issue a bit too much. And it's just the fact that he's played well in Texas on the Corn Ferry as well. I was hoping he was going to play last week. He was 5th and 7th in that Veritex Championship that was worth, pointing to last week. And there's been some crossover with Puerto Rico. There's been some good form since from him in Texas. I think at 251.8 places for someone that we know has won on the PGA Tour, albeit a slightly lower level, I think that's good value.
I think so. And he's certainly a player that is well equipped to deal with the conditions if it does get that windy out there. He has plenty of previous. I mean, his win in Puerto Rico backs it up as well. So, yeah, I didn't even notice his form in Texas until you told me. It's great. It's eye-catching. And I quite like it. I like it a lot.
There we go. And then you've got one sort of special bet for us, I guess.
Yeah, I say I've got a top 40 bet, Paul Barjon, and it's basically a home game for him. So he stays with his in-laws when he's in San Antonio, regularly practices and plays at TPC when he's there. He's a Texas resident. He's finished second at this course behind Riley on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's done no good like Riley on the PGA Tour here. But yeah, he's crying out for a decent result. He's missed the cut 6 events in a row. So yeah, he really needs a result. But last week he did come close. He missed a cut on the number and he gained strokes off the tee and on approach. And that's the first time in ages. And so he'll be targeting a big performance this week. And obviously on a course that he knows well. And yeah, I've backed him to finish in the top 40 at 11-2 and at 1,000 to 1 on the exchange. I think he's 1,000 to 1 Ball Sports, 8 places if you did want to back him each way as well. So yeah, I think he's a good placement bet this week.
Yeah, someone looked at 2-time winner on a Korn Ferry Tour last year. He'd already won there in 2021 as well. 3-time winner in Canada. Like, he's definitely got something about him, right, that suggests he's a good player. As you said, local ties is good. Showed a little bit of form last week is all you really need. I mean, yeah, he has struggled on the PGA Tour season. No getting away from that. He's actually, you know, pretty much struggled on the PGA Tour for the most part, right?
But yeah.
We saw his talent. He came back to the EP World Tour as well, didn't he? And
he was in contention. Yeah, Le Golf National. Yeah, I remember that.
So he's a player that's definitely got something about him. I think he's, you know, Tom Hoagie knows him. I think they kind of communicate a decent amount, and you sort of see these players, and they mention, you know, he's got something, you know, in his game or whatever. I mean, they're all be nice about each other, right? But I think it's always quite eye catching when people point that out. So absolutely get that in that same market. Like, I keep beating this same bush, Brad, but Aaron Baddeley, his here form here, right? So 2010 he was third, 2013 he was 15th, 67th in 2014, but he was 9th after two rounds, 20th in 2015, 29th in 2016, 5th in 2017, 16th in 2018, 30th in 2019, 18th in 2022. Once he's finished outside the top 40 and he was 9th after two rounds. You then look at his form this season, missed the cut at the Amex, but he shot 66 65 in the second and third round, 37th at Torrey Pines, 28th at Phoenix, 24th in Mexico, did miss the cut in the Cognizant, 23rd again at Puerto Rico, missed the cut again at the Players, and then 17th at the Valspar, 82nd unfortunately last week. So he's obviously been up and down, and it's driven by short game, but I think if he's ever going to kind of be solid somewhere, it certainly seems to be.
What market would you play in? Top Australian, who's he got to beat? Or Australasian, it could be Ryan Fox, Adam Scott. That could be the market.
You've got that. I mean, what price is he probably in there? I mean, he's 12 to 5 for a top 40 is his best price. So, I'll leave people to kind of figure out what's best. But I think probably top 40 is kind of the way to go. Yeah. Any places to you in the Australasian one. So yeah, I think probably just top 40 with you, mate, just to find someone.
I was going to say another player that I'm keen on this week is Jonathan Vegas, who I think is a good bet in the top South American market, and you'll probably want to back Nico Echevarria in that. But yeah, I just feel like he's coming back into form. Obviously, he's had his injury worries. 19th tee to green last week. Obviously, Texas resident. I think last week it was probably backed more so because he lives in Houston. But yeah. I think this is a good course for him. Like, he's been strong off the tee. He'll keep it in play. And he surprisingly hasn't got the best record here, but he had his best finish here a couple of years ago. His last time he was here, 18th. So I just think he's coming back into form a little bit. Obviously, he's such a top player. He's had his injury worries, and I think I like him this week in general, but I think in the top South American market, I think he's the one in form. Obviously, Tosti had a good try. He was in contention last week, wasn't he? Yeah. Andrew Tosti. No, it's not. He's a bit erratic, and I just don't think this course is going to suit him nearly as much as last week. I like Vegas, but yeah, I do think he's going to be up against your man. He's the danger.
I think it's funny, isn't it, Vegas? Like you say, he's not had the form you'd expect him to have had here based on his sort of local size. But when he was 44th, he was third after round one. When he was 34th, he was inside the top 20 for the first three rounds. When he was 30th, he was second after round one, fourth after round three. And when he was 18th, as you're up there, he was inside the top 20. So he's got it there in abundance, isn't he? It's just he can't put it for four rounds. And you know, finishing with a 65 last week is going to give him the world of confidence. So I do like the train of thought, even if I, again, just have a bit of a pause on him. But there we go. I think that's it, Brad. We've got the Masters now to look forward to. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. So let's summarise our picks in the outright market first. So I'm going to go with Alex Norrie. I think you probably just take all the places you can get, 28 to 1, 10 places. I'm going to take 33 to 1 on Billy Horschel. Maybe you can take the 35 to 1, 6 places, because I generally think he's kind of boom or bust for him. I'm then going to go with KH Lee, who is, I think you can get 80 to 1, 8 places is the one you want to go for there. Ryan Moore, 125 to 1, 8 places. Max Graziman, 125 to 1, 8 places. And then Nico Echevarria, 250 to 1, 8 places. With that, Aaron Baddeley, 12 to 5, top 40 odds there. Your picks for us, Brad, in the Valeris episode?
I've gone with Hideki Matsuyama, 20 to 1. You can get 8 places with William Hill or Boyle Sports. Then I've gone with Billy Horschel, like yourself, 35 to 1, 6 places, SpreadX. And then I've gone Davis Riley, 80 to 1, Skybet or Betway, 8 places. Or you can go 90 to 1, Unibet. I think best take the places. So yeah, 80 to 1, 8 places. Then I've gone Harry Hall. 175 to 1, 10 places. You can get 200 to 1, 8 places, because you might as well take it. The 175 elaborates, you can also boost that, I think, to 200 to 1. So that's the way to go for extra places. And then I've gone for Paul Barjon, top 40, 11 to 2, Paddy Power, Betfair. And you can also take him 1,000 to 1 on the exchange or Boar Sports if you wanted a little saver on him. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Good group of players there, I think, in terms of just a bit of value. And I think the top of the market can be opposed outside of the ones we've sort of referenced as our outright pick. So exciting week. Good to get a couple of pointers into next week. It'd be good to see some players like Hideki and that play well before the Masters. And obviously Billy Horschel and Alex Norrie try and get in. So plenty to play for. Brad, thank you as ever, mate. And I shall pick up again next week for the Masters.